Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Option Trading Concepts Live. My name is Nick Batista. I've got my man, Mikey Butler, and of course, Katie McGergel in the house with me today. And if you want to come join us, hop over to YouTube, type in Tasty Live, come to our channel, give us a like, and subscribe to our videos because that helps us immensely. But more importantly, just come chat with us live because we'll be taking questions throughout the show. Whatever you got questions on, from strategies, concepts, trade ideas, trade management, whatever. Just come hang with us for the next hour of the day, my favorite hour of the day, because I get to get the three amigos back together. How are you, Katie?
Good. I'm doing well. I feel like I'm still kind of dragging from New York, if I'm being honest.
Major burnout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're here, ready to talk about trades. We had a great time. We had a great show.
You survived. You were questioning whether you would survive,
The bro time.
You did.
I did.
Yeah, and
honestly, I can hang.
I was about to say, you hold your own quite well.
Yeah.
With the group. It was
Me
and Mikey, of course. We had David on the trade desk. We had Garrett in there. And then we got Katie just, you know, wrangling us like herding cats.
Yeah. You guys are well behaved. A couple of out of pocket comments, I will say.
I'll just
leave it at that and let everybody fill in the blanks on what I mean by that. But you guys were well behaved. You were well behaved.
I'm just glad. I'm very happy that you joined us for the UFC
event. I had a blast.
And I was thinking about it and I was like, that was objectively one of the best UFCs ever.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere at that bar was just electric.
It was.
It was awesome.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed myself. I'm stoked. Seattle, we're looking at you. You're next.
Yes.
In about a month. So
May
make sure you're signed up.
18th, I believe it is.
May 18th. So we're literally a month out. So head to tastylive.com/events if you want to join us. I'll drop the link in the chat for YouTube. But yeah, it was a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to the next one.
Seattle's a beautiful place.
Seattle's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
What is going on with the two of you? Happy PGA Thursday. Happy bowling Thursday.
Bowling's over, unfortunately.
Happy end of bowling season.
Happy Thursday. Go to the golf simulator day.
Ooh, is this a day?
No. This is without my work wife. Oh. Sorry. The bowling team decided that they would like another week away from their significant others.
Nice.
So bowling is still happening, but it's going to be a golf simulator. So
there you go. You're going to be bowling a ball with a club.
Yes. Similar, but different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's buckets of beers.
Yes.
It's splitting hairs at this point, right?
Yes.
You know what's not over is the Bulls season.
Mm.
Did you see that the Bulls won?
I watched part of the game last night. I did not watch.
And no Jimmy buckets now.
Yeah, I guess he's injured. It's unfortunate.
Sad.
But yeah, the Bulls, Kobe White dropped 40.
Yeah.
And now they're continuing on.
Let's go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's helpful to me because my significant other is a Bucks fan.
Yes.
And he just constantly rags on me for being a Bulls fan.
Yeah.
Hence why he doesn't get invited to any games when we have extra tickets.
I don't think I've ever seen him without his Bucks hat on.
Yeah.
It's like one of his
it's
favorite
either that
hats.
Or it's a wrestling hat.
Yeah.
Those are the two that he kind of toggles between.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that felt kind of good this morning. But also, he has no room to complain because he just won the fantasy league
that
you all are in.
And now his head is probably just exploding with confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be... You know what? It is what it is. I can't complain. I'd rather that than have a sore loser floating around the apartment.
True.
Do you guys have a trophy for the champion?
No.
You got to get that done.
Unfortunately not. I think we used to do something like that, but haven't in a while.
Yeah. Gotta get that.
Everyone used to be in Chicago. Now everyone's spread out. So,
yeah. Well, you send it in the mail.
Next year will be your year.
Come on.
Don't worry.
Next year will be my year. Yeah, I just had too many injuries. But I was in the playoffs, but I just had like half my team injured. So there's just never a chance.
Yeah. I feel that. Well, I feel like this is like the most positions I've had on in a while. Mm-hmm. So let's get a little rundown so I can kind of figure out where my head's at.
No doubt. E-mini S&P 500 futures up 15 right now. We've had about a 45-point intraday range. We're right in the middle of that. 50-50 the low, 50-95 the high on the E-minis. Got the NASDAQ up 20, the Dow up 182, and the Russell up 14. So the Russell and the Dow actually the strongest of the group right now. Oil basically unchanged, 82.10 here, down a nickel. You got volatility futures /VX, 16.95, down 30 cents. Bonds down 20 ticks. They have been getting smashed recently. You got gold up 10 bucks, silver up 2 pennies, and then Bitcoin catching a little bit of a bid on the eve of the halving, up 2,400 on the future, 1,700 on spot.
Ain't that something? Yeah, Bitcoin is going to be wild the rest of the year. I mean, we've seen volatility realized this year already. Mm-hmm. It's not going to stop. It's not going to just like sit in a channel and just sit there anymore. It's going to keep ripping up and down. So it's going to be a good trading vehicle, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I believe Ryan Grace did a nice little piece about the halving happening as well. Yes. We'll try to dig that up and put it in the chat for anybody that wants to take a closer look.
I know it's on the Tasty Crypto Twitter, because I saw it. I watched it the other day. I retweeted it. So if you're looking for it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it here. Bitcoin halving guide.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Ryan Grace, Mike Martin, Priya, the gang, Lawrence running mm-hmm. the Tasty Crypto show. Mm-hmm. Head over to tastycrypto.com. They do have an app. So,
it's legit.
Yeah, check it out. I've talked about this with both of you, but like that is probably my biggest blind spot in terms of like understanding product and just the amount of content that they've been able to build on their website about crypto has definitely made it a little bit more digestible.
I really enjoy the memes are on Twitter of like family members that like will eat that will text and be like, "What's this halving? Like, what's happening?" And then people are telling them that like, "Oh, well, it's just when like they take half your Bitcoin and like, and all the texts back are like, "Wait, what? Like, I'm gonna lose half?"
Yeah,
yeah.
It's amazing.
It's great.
It's good.
Yeah, go show them some love.
Lovely.
Have you all done anything outside of your trade ideas today that we should
bless you?
Thank you.
Keep an eye on?
I've done a couple little things. I can walk through them.
Regale us.
Yes. So
please regale us.
So this morning I was going to do this SPX upside butterfly for the trade ideas today, but I actually just scalped out of it, so I have a new trade idea. But I did an upside butterfly into the little dip that we had this morning. Took a couple bucks out of that. Like $135 out of that. So that was just a quick little profit. I took that one. IWM, I closed out of a calendar spread that I had in my JohnnyTrader account. I rolled down in AMD a call there too, just continuing to fight that battle. AMD has had some wide trading ranges. Mm-hmm. So those were my trades. SPX, AMD, and IWM.
Are you still holding that coin butterfly?
I do. It expires tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Yes.
Because I've been the same one as you.
Dead.
Yeah.
I haven't.
We were looking good there for a second.
I know. But it's a small, it was a little lotto ticket type.
Yeah.
What was the basis on it? Like,
we paid
73 cents or 72 cents, something like that.
Let's see. I got filled at 266.
Oh, which one did we have? Oh, I think I did that on my JohnnyTrader.
275, 300, 325.
See, I did this one as in this account, I had the 300, 325, 370 that I did at basically a scratch and bought in the risk. So my overall cost was like 73 cents.
Sure.
But similar trade.
Yeah.
That unfortunately didn't pan out. Sorry, Katie.
It's okay.
I owe you steak dinner.
Ooh, I'll take you up on that.
There we go.
Can we get the seafood tower too?
Sure, sure.
Lock that in.
Let's go.
Lock that
Swift
in.
Swift and Sons, let's go.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's great.
Bizarre Meats is an interesting one.
Oh, yeah. That's we've all been there just at separate times. I wasn't invited to you guys' date there. I'm kidding. But yeah, we should. We should do a little steak dinner one of these times. Next time, all three of us hit a trade.
Yes.
There you go. There
so
you go.
We've got a while to prepare.
Yes.
And then we have to tell the server that we're paying with our attendees from whatever trade they're
doing. Exactly.
And then they can look at us and be like, what are they talking about?
Yeah. Let's kick them out. They're a risk.
Yeah, I haven't done anything yet of note other than the trade idea for today, which is doing well right now. But yeah, got my eye on an Apple. Just need a little pop there. I have the 170 call in June and the 180 call with 8 days left. That's basically worthless. So any rally here for like $1.50, $2, it'll be in profitable territory.
And then, did I follow? Oh, sorry. Keep going.
I was just going to say, just keeping my eye on DraftKings, but we talked yesterday. We're probably just going to hold it through earnings because there's such a big IV inflation in May that rolling to June, you're not really picking up much credit. You're just replacing your IV exposure with time-based exposure, which is not necessarily something you want to do ahead of earnings.
For sure. Lovely. I was going to say, Nick, you're also, I think I followed you into a Palantir trade, but I don't think either of us have done anything
like
that.
Yes, I'm sitting.
A small loser right now.
A little call diagonal spread long, the 24 is what I've got, and then in June, and then short, the 26 in the May monthly. It looks like it's marked at about 80 cents here. We did it at $1.11, so I'm out about 30 cents there.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, shall we get to some trade ideas? I see we got like a nice amount of people in the YouTube chat, so please drop your questions in there and we will get to them as soon as we cover what we're trading.
Let's do it.
Let us do it. What are you looking at, Mikey?
Well, today is Netflix earnings. So I am going into Netflix and obviously I'm placing it to the upside because Permabowl, and I just don't, after diving into the weeds with Netflix earnings, I actually did a written preview that I just posted to the YouTube chat. If you want to join us there, we're streaming live on Tasty Live's YouTube channel. But yeah, there's not much else I can do here in Netflix. It's a $600 product. These options are $5,000 in June and $3,000 in May. So it's just like, I can't really do anything normally that I would do, like a diagonal spread or calendar. Even a calendar spread is like $1,700, which is, I don't
need
that.
Too expensive for an earnings trade to
exactly
have that much risk.
Yep. So looking at the May cycle, and we highlighted this yesterday, there's still a pretty big differential in May from an IV collapse standpoint. We're looking at 50% IV in May, 40% IV in June and beyond from a time frame standpoint. So we're going to get at least 10 percentage points crushed out of May. And the expected move right now is 52 points. So I went down to the 560-550 May put spread here, and the stock price is currently trading at 617. So I've got about 57 points to the downside. Going to May for time for some upfront defense. If Netflix drops aggressively, I'll still have 28 days tomorrow for the thing to reverse. And I collected 265 on a 10-point wide spread. So max loss 735, a little bit less than one-third the width, but I'm only taking risk on one side. I'm getting further out of the expected move than the earnings cycle. So I'm comfortable with the risk. We'll see what happens. The real-time risk here is $250, $300 if it goes in the money.
It goes crazy to the downside.
Yeah. If it goes like, if it drops 200 points, then that's different. It'll be max loss. But if it's near 550, 560, 540, 530, it'll be around a $200 loss tomorrow.
Yes.
But then again, 28 days for it to reverse. So happy to take some downside risk here personally. So that's what I'm doing. And this is sticking with the plan of earnings trades, keeping things under or around $1,000 with time left to expiration. So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
All right. Sound logic.
I like the trade.
Oh, and Netflix, as Chris knows, has a deal with WWE in 2025. Exclusive streaming rights in Netflix. So
he's changing tides. He was an AEW boy, and I think he's becoming a WWE boy now.
After the
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's
I'm shocked he hasn't taken you out to Allstate Arena for one of those Because don't they have it there like every other?
I went to the Wintrust one last summer.
Love it.
Yeah.
And it was
we had a suite. We had a box.
That's amazing.
It was honestly like pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like
the people watching at those events is top tier.
Totally.
I went to a Bellator MMA.
People watching. Chris is one of the people.
I know. It's
right?
People are watching Chris.
Yeah. I went to a Bellator MMA show at Wintrust.
Yeah.
And that's like low level UFC.
Mm-hmm.
So like think what we saw, but like lower tier.
Yeah.
And there was a 40 person brawl after the fights ended in the middle of the hallway. And I was
is
hilarious. Like we just walked right around it. Like this is classic.
This
is what happens here.
Yeah, it was fun. It's, you know, there's so much, it's like, you know, it's very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's athletic, but there's drama, you know, so I get it. I honestly think like the smack talking is like one of my favorite parts, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, they're the ones getting paid millions of dollars to, I don't know, do like a Canadian pile driver or something. Yeah. I don't know any of the terms, but
yeah.
Anyways, good to know. That's why you're bullish on Netflix.
It's just a fun fact, but I think they'll be fine long term, but we'll see if they can beat earnings this time.
We shall see. Nick, what's on your radar? Question mark?
For me, I'm going back to coin.
Oh, okay.
Similar type trade that I owe you a steak dinner in. But I'm doing an upside butterfly here, so plays into skew, plays into kind of the, you know, upside. Everybody thinking we're going to the moon, you know, big moves, kind of plays into that. So I'm going out to May, so you got a little bit of duration here. I'm buying the 250 strike call. You also have earnings exposure, too. I think the earnings are projected to be on the 2nd, so a little bit after earnings here. So buying the 250 call, I'm selling two of the 270s and then buying one of the 300s. Now, I did this trade at a 23-cent debit. So typically when you do these broken wing butterflies, because this is 20 by 30 on the upside, I guess it could have gone to the 310 and done this for a tiny, tiny credit, but I wanted to just keep my risk to around $1,000.
Sure.
Max risk. So typically for these butterflies, we want to do them for a credit so that you have no risk to the downside. It would put your your probability at somewhere around like an 80% pop.
Yeah.
The 20 cent or 23 cent debit, I don't really keep that. I consider that to be risk, so to speak, here, which is why this trade sets up as like a 15 or 20% pop, because you have all that risk, you know, you have no profit potential to the downside. Mm-hmm. So this is a shot type trade. If you get a 10 or 15 point up move in a week or two of time decay, you know, maybe make $100 on it is kind of like what I'm trying to target here. Max would be like $200 to $300.
Sure. Not too shabby.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
What are you giggling about over there?
Just the YouTube comments, which I'll bring up in a little bit.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to them. I see them coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We're not stupid. All right. So I needed something that was uncorrelated to the rest of my portfolio. Of course, we were just on the road talking about building a portfolio. So I thought, what better time to practice what I preached than to discuss going into products where maybe you aren't an expert, but you still are able to find a trade that's digestible to you. So I am actually looking at a soybean long call spread, SOYB, which is the corresponding soybean ETF, has like a zero correlation to SPY. So no matter what like the equity markets are doing, I know that at least in the last 3 months, this thing has been moving independently of any of that activity. And if you look at all of the grains right now, all of them are on their lows, or at least recent lows. I don't know if Thomas was out yesterday, so I don't think you got any intel from our boy.
Yeah, we're off.
Yeah. We're in the dark.
We're in the dark. Well, this one's also a kind of a shot in the dark, but it's defined risk, and that's why I'm able to place a position in here. and still be able to go to bed at night. So the contract that I went to is the N4 contract, which is the July monthly contract. So if you're looking at like your watch list right now, you'll see that the active month is still the May contract, but there was enough liquidity and I was stingy with my price entry in order to get this one done. So at the time, soybeans in the July contract was trading about $11.56. So I'm actually down a little bit of money on this trade right now, but I'm long the $11.50 and short the $11.70. So a classic $1,000 in spread width. I feel like I could get that tattooed on my forehead at this point, where you're basically risking one to make one. I've got a little bit more in terms of max profit than what I actually paid. And I've got about 36 days for this to kind of work in my favor and us to see a little bit of a pop or a volatility expansion in here. Both of those would help this position. Like what you're saying, Nick, I'd be happy with $150-$200 from this. And it's just an uncorrelated occurrence and exposure to an asset class or a commodity that I didn't have any exposure to previously. So just looking to broaden my reach a little bit compared to some of the equity names and currency that I currently have.
Love it. Yeah. I'm working in order to join you.
Okay.
Well, I was going to do the same thing.
At 8.5. So this is our opportunity to get that steak dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at corn, if you look at wheat, all of them are kind of just grinding sideways on these lows. So, you know, will we be right in the next 36 days? Who knows? But it's small enough that, you know, I'm not overexposed relative to the rest of my portfolio and positions.
If we all get in on this and we all win, we have to go to the steakhouse and we have to ask the server what is made with soybeans on this menu.
Yeah.
And we have to get it.
Well, we can go to like an Asian steakhouse and get like edamame.
There we go.
Or something.
Done.
Yeah. Done. So we shall see. That would be great, wouldn't it?
It would be. But yeah, Thomas was out yesterday, but a couple weeks ago we looked at the ags and we got bullish positions on soybean, corn, and wheat. And soybean and corn were two winners. Corn, I still have. Wheat, yeah, and soybeans were both winners, bouncing off the bottom. So we're back to the bottom. So I like it.
We had like one day to manage the corn position into this like one big green bar that we had.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But got a little greedy.
Yeah.
There we go.
It'll get you.
That'll happen.
It always does. Really quickly before we move on, just because I wanted to mention this at the top when you all were talking about your trades, but my pairs trade from last week, that euro sterling trade,
yes,
it's down $30. It's down small. I had an email or two asking me about it, but there's nothing to really manage at this point in time. I just need a little bit more of an up move in the euro or a little bit of weakness in the pound in order to, you know, get this thing moving in my direction.
Very good.
That's that on that. Let's go to the chat.
That on that. First chat here. Do you guys have any recommendations on options trading books? So the two that are closest to the vest for us would be Julia's book. Mm-hmm. Which I'll link in the YouTube chat right now. And then Tony from Mexico, he wrote two books,
yes,
that are on Amazon that are basically highlighting the way that he learned how to trade in the tasty way. Yeah. So
Uncle Tony.
I would check
Uncle
those Tony out. If you want to get deeper into the weeds, there's always that implied volatility book that's very popular.
Sheldon,
yeah.
Who we've had on the show. Mm-hmm. Couple times.
Yeah, he's been to a couple of our events.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That one is like,
yeah,
that's deep.
Yeah.
That one's deep.
Actually, while we're talking about that though, and talking about like the depth of options trading, we also are going to have an event later, I believe in the summer, like late June. So for those of you that have been around for a while, mm-hmm, we kind of do this yearly-ish event, COVID aside, called Geeks on Parade. But we're bringing that back this year. It will be kind of like a virtual event. Like we're doing it through this company that we work with called Live Bash. But we've got like 7 options trading, crypto trading,
nerds,
Bitcoin
dorks,
geniuses. I was going nicer. But yeah, head to tastylive.com/events if you want to sign up. Of course, you know, free of charge. You get like a digital copy of the event after it's over. And like we're saying, it's like really heavy hitting stuff. So not for the faint of heart, but I'm sure there's plenty to learn in there from, you know, the stack of people that are going to be doing it. It's Dr. Data, Ryan Grace, Tom Preston, Jim Schultz. We got Julia, we got Anton, and we also have Jacob Perlman. So heavy. I'm glad we're doing the lighter, just like build a portfolio.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to talk about DeFi and blockchain and Web3 these other buzzwords that I don't understand.
Yeah, Jacob, I'm sure we'll have some insane slide with just like the most
aggressive equation of all time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's always good.
It's wild.
For sure.
But yes, there's a little bit of something for everyone with the events this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
For sure. All right, looks like we got a question from Mr. Bond.
Yes, 007 himself. Happy post-hump day. Sold an earnings call spread in UNH. 452.5, 457.5, expiring tomorrow. Credits 195. Trade not working and will probably get assigned tomorrow. Would you close out today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 450, 452.5?
Yeah.
Save you a buck or two.
Oh, yeah.
Just to close it out.
Yeah.
It's going to trade it. 250.
Yeah, they're worthless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll trade at, $5. This $5.
450.
Yeah. $5.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can get it. You can get out for like 501, 502, something like that.
Yeah.
And you'll avoid the assignments. Let's see. Portfolio has a bunch of strangles from Larry. With this down move, I now have positive delta of 330, which will happen naturally. I was thinking I need some negative delta, perhaps this SPX call broke wing butterfly.
Sure.
That could work. It's kind of synergistic with your other positions. You still have risk to the upside, but your max profit is on a neutral to small up move.
Yeah. You won't get a lot of delta from a broken wing butterfly, so... Mm-hmm. I would just keep that in mind if you're looking to get like some actual delta, maybe one of those wide butterflies that I like to do on the downside, you know, 100 to 200 points wide on each of them. It'll get you in something like SPX. You do like the 5,000, 4,800. We'll do it the wider type. 4,600. $2,800, your delta is going to be 13 to SPX, but 138 SPY beta weighted delta. So, you know, this trade for $2,800 is going to, you know, cut your delta by 30% or more. Almost 50%, I should say. So, something like that, I think, would be a better way to get actual short delta versus the SPX call butterfly, broken wing butterfly.
Love it.
Nice.
Colin, you doing anything with your Tesla position, Nick? Those short calls might be pretty worthless, right? Meow.
Yeah. Well, they certainly are into this move. So I actually was looking at this earlier this morning. I got the long 180. I'm short two of the 200s and then long one of the 220s just to cap the risk. I am in this for 630. It's currently marked at 338. I was looking at taking this portion of the trade, the short premium, and trying to roll it down. It's just unfortunately been too big of a move to really roll it anywhere else because I've got this, the 180 long out in June. I don't really want, I could go to like the 135 and do this one time for 40 some odd cents, but I'd rather just do this into strength. So I'm going to hold the position. Hopefully we get a little bit of a bounce in Tesla and then I can do that roll down. This part of the trade, the 200, 220, it's not going to move. If we go $10 higher, this might move 50 or 60 cents total. So it doesn't really affect me.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Wild dragonfly. When you look at the expected move for a given expiration, which I understand is one standard deviation, is it the same across all brokers and trading platforms? No. it the calculations could be very similar, but you're if you see a different number, it could be because one uses a rolling 52-week period or you know, one day off. Maybe they don't include the weekend, like something like that that offsets the data, which offsets the number. And our plus minus number is close to the straddle.
Yeah.
So
85% of the straddle.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they do roughly like the out of the money strangles as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll be similar, but there will be slight differences if you're looking at one and one. If you're looking at like four different platforms, you're not going to see the exact same number.
Correct. And the at the money straddle is a 50-50 shot. If you want the standard deviation, you have to look at the 16 delta options.
Yeah.
So like 180, 130 on Tesla in this expiration.
Yeah. And I think it's important to just like not get so hung up on what exactly the technology is like telling you and like parking, you know, and camping right at that strike. Like, you need to do what you're comfortable with in terms of your own risk tolerance, as well as like what works for you from a risk reward perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a guardrail or a nice to know based on like what the market and the premium is telling us at this time.
For sure. And it's good to look at the actual deltas, because that'll take into account the skew in the options. Like an expected move, the plus or minus number assumes a normal distribution. Like that plus $18 is on both sides, mm-hmm. but we know that there is skew. And so when you look at the actual options value, that'll give you a little bit better understanding, a little bit better number.
Yeah, for sure.
H. Montero calling for a redo of the Futures Katie commercial and doing a Wizard Katie commercial. Mm.
I'm not opposed.
Yeah, we could do something wild with that.
Yeah.
With the new green screen room we have.
Oh, man.
We'll get you on a broom real quick.
Yeah. Sign me up.
That'd be
in potions class.
Yeah.
I'll be riding on the Quidditch pitch.
Can we please do this?
Yeah.
And I want to be involved. I can obviously be Malfoy.
Yeah. I love that. I have no shame when it comes to doing those like fun little commercials. Mm. I mean, I did Barbarians of Contraria, which RIP.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
But no, we've got quite a few like fun little things we used to do under our belts.
Mm-hmm. If I'm selling equal delta on both sides, why is my position heavily weighted negative delta for SPX? Is it skew? Yeah.
Yeah,
most likely.
You're probably talking equal width.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're selling equal deltas, you're equal deltas. You're flat.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to be selling equal distance away, which will naturally lean you a little bit short if you're doing spreads.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you're matching deltas, if you're beta weighting to SPX or SPY, it might still lean you short.
Yeah.
But either way,
it depends on what the underlyings are. But
yeah. I was just filled on that soybeans spread.
Nice.
Got a better price than me.
Let it sit. Let it marinate for a little bit. People calling for a potential Netflix crash now that I said I'm bullish on it. That's fair. That's why the risk is defined, people.
Mm-hmm.
How about a neutral earnings trade for ISRG? May Iron Condor short the 340 put and the 410 call with $10 wings at a $3 credit.
340, 410 with 10 point wide wings.
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay, 410. So it's 410, 420, 340, 330.
For in the May monthly?
Yeah.
340, 410.
Fair. 295. Probably less. Markets are a little wide.
Yeah. I like the setup here where you're going just outside the expected move in the monthly cycle, which means you're covering more than one times the expected move in the weekly cycle. You're covering 30 points, more than 30 points to the downside, more than 40 points to the upside, or just about 40 points to the upside. So you've got twice the expected move to the upside, 1.5 times the expected move to the downside, and your IV crush isn't going to be too crazy here. So only about 4 or 5 percentage points that you can see from 38% down to 33, 34, 32 in the back months. But those back months might drop to 30 or below. So Maybe you're looking at 6-7 percentage points, but either way, this is likely one that you should plan on holding if you're trying to get like 150 bucks, 200 bucks out of this. It's not going to happen overnight.
I would be careful with this one too, because the options don't trade all that much. I mean, looking at May, you got handful of contracts, volume is a handful. Same thing even in the weeklies, like there's not a lot going on in here. Stock 750,000 shares traded today, which is not that much. So, you know, right now is going to be peak liquidity. I was looking at putting on a trade here at, you know, 20, 30 cent wide bid ask spreads isn't like awful, mm-hmm. but I think you're going to see those widen out significantly tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you're looking to place it as like a boost to strike width and a little bit of premium, then sure. Any update on your gold futures position, KT? Mm. Are you just short or you have a spread?
I started with an iron condor and then immediately got my face ripped off. Mm-hmm. And so I peeled off the put spread and now I'm just sitting with the deep in the money call spread. I mean, it's 7 days to go. It's a lottery ticket. Like selling the other side, like making it into a iron fly or even like just selling a put to offset, like it just doesn't make sense. It's only allowing me to pick up like 40 bucks in credit. So really, I just need gold to stop
acting a fool,
come back down to reality and please go underneath my short strike.
Please.
I have a call spread right at 2400 here, so
I
feel your pain.
Much better than me.
I have 40 days to go till expiration. I actually rolled up the put spread to did I do that today? Yesterday, maybe.
Yeah, tough. I mean, you know, when it the velocity just continues to go against you, like there wasn't really much I could do in terms of managing this other than peeling off the spread. And, you know, I could have kept rolling up the puts, but as we've talked about before, a lot of times you end up like getting whipsawed. So I just wanted to lean with the directional delta. And unfortunately, I need it to kind of happen in the next 7 days.
Yeah, I should have placed the GTC order there when we were traveling, because there were three times where I could have exited for a scratch instead of feeling this pain that I'm feeling now.
Yeah.
With the micro short.
But that's because you were gone.
I was gone.
When we're typically sitting around our platforms all day, we don't usually use the GTCs.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But you can.
You still can, yeah. But yeah, I'm in the same boat. I need it down to 2350-ish. It will be good.
I need 2280. So, who wins?
Good luck.
Okay.
All right. From Cullen, what do you mean by replacing IV exposure with time-based exposure in DraftKings? What's the difference?
Good question. So, basically what I mean by that is normally when you're in DraftKings, if there's not any earnings and all the expirations have a similar implied volatility around 50-60%, when you're rolling from May at a 29 day to June with 64 days, you should expect to collect like $2.50, like something like that, because the premium is decent there. Every roll I've made so far has been around $2. Mm-hmm. So now we have earnings on the horizon May 2nd after the close. So the May monthly cycle is not a similar IV number to June. It's actually 12 percentage points higher. It's 70% in May relative to 58% in June. You can also see the expected move in May is 584 plus minus relative to 751 in June. So the difference there is that June has over twice the amount of time compared to May, but the expected moves are very similar. It's not reflective of like a $3 expected move in May and a $6 expected move in June. Mm-hmm. So that tells you that the premium is elevated in May relative to June when you compare it on a time-based spectrum, because implied volatility is higher because it's closer to the earnings cycle. So a long-winded way to say that instead of collecting $2 from rolling to May to June, I'm only collecting $1 to go from May to June.
And that's because you have the earnings
right
in there.
Because I'm buying back the heightened implied volatility in May and rolling out to a lower implied volatility in June. So that just means that I'm not going to roll until after earnings, because when the earnings announcement happens, if DraftKings stays around this range, I'm going to see premium come out like that in May And then I can roll to June, which will still have plenty of time-based premium, even if IV is lower there too. So what I'm trying to get at is I want to roll for $2. I don't want to roll for a dollar.
Yeah.
If I'm going out to 64 days.
You have some time. You can wait another week and assess it at that point.
Exactly.
Too, because you want to take some of that extrinsic value.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be in this trade for the whole year, so I don't need to do anything right now. Assuming you had the buying power to do a calendar spread on Netflix, how would you set it up? Asking for a friend, and the friend is Maria from Rob.
There we go. I would probably do something in June.
Mm-hmm.
If I had the capital, and I would do the diagonal. It depends on which side you want to play, whether you're on the upside or the downside is up to you. But I would do something like, I don't know, if you wanted to play the upside, the 650, and then in April, I would sell something like the 675 or the 670. Mm-hmm. Either of these will be fine. Even if this goes fully in the money, I know that we like to do these for less than the width. And this 20 points wide at $21, even if you get this move to the upside, you're going to be totally fine here just because there's so much extrinsic value that comes off the table. And this long option is going to hold a ton of extrinsic value as well. So this is a sort of setup that I would do. If you wanted to move it to the 75, you certainly can. It'll be, you know, a dollar more expensive. But that's kind of the setup I would use.
Yeah. And for calendar spreads, I usually set the short option up at the expected move for the weekly cycle and then just buy the monthly cycle at the same strike. So like the 670 to the upside, mm-hmm, or the 570 to the downside. And then I would go to June and buy that option because June is going to experience a much lower IV crush compared to May.
Yeah.
And that's that. Popular question here, how is the IV calculated on the expiration level versus the strike level? So the expiration level is based on the straddle, the strangle, it's an aggregate of those. But the strike level is based on just the implied volatility of that strike's premium if there is a move. So generally speaking, we don't really look at that all too much. It's just, it's important to understand the concept where, because at the money options have more premium, it's harder for that premium to go 2x, 3x, 4x, 5x. Out of the money options that are cheap have a much easier time going 2x, 3x, 4x, 5x.
Yeah.
So the out of the money options are going to have a higher implied volatility strike number relative to at the money. Mm. And that's it.
It's the smile.
That's the smile. Let's see. Your thoughts on short gold once and long bonds twice. Short GC, long ZB twice.
Is that a typical pairs trade?
Not that I'm aware. I get like there's probably, you know, an element of like flight to quality versus interest rates,
yes,
but way too rich for my blood, if mm-hmm, I'm being honest. So shorting gold and then buying bonds. Is that what they said?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get where your head's at in terms of like, because the bond, like futures, are kind of like the inverse of what is happening with actual rates.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make sense that you'd want to be long those if you expect interest rates to actually drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like what Nick has done here, just pulling up the pairs trade, doing the exact ratio, two bonds, one gold, mm-hmm, long short. You can see on a daily, monthly, yearly chart, they're all at the bottom of the barrel in terms of the mm-hmm ratio. Doesn't mean it can't go lower, but
yeah,
this is certainly an extreme right now.
Yeah.
And this isn't a shock given that bonds are at lows and mm-hmm gold is at highs.
So, right.
You know, I.
Yeah.
It's a big boy position. Makes sense. I'm sure this is something Tom would like to do. I think Tom's already basically in this position.
Oh, okay.
Because he's been long bonds. I mean, like, that's part of his...
his core. Yeah.
So he's long bonds and then... I don't think there's anybody that's been trading gold that isn't short gold at this point. You can't really...
come on.
Yeah.
Where is it then? Can the market stay irrational longer than I can stay solvent? I mean, that is the tale as old as time.
It depends on how much capital you have and how big your positions are.
Facts.
Marvin, if you are bearish and want to play a zero-day butterfly, which delta would you choose? And would you go with a debit or credit route? So a credit butterfly is kind of more neutral. You just want an explosion to either side, which doesn't line up with being bearish necessarily. It could. But a debit butterfly is much more of a low risk, high reward if you are directionally right.
You're talking about iron fly versus butterfly. Because the iron fly and the butterfly are synthetically the same thing, but yeah. It's where we set them up.
Right. And what I was looking at was like a butterfly, a debit butterfly, where you're long the wings, short the guts. The reverse, where you're long the guts, short the wings. You just want an explosion on either side with the ladder, where with the long the wings, short the guts, you want a move to those short strikes.
Yeah.
So they're just a little bit different, but typically we're going to put it around or within the expected move to the downside if that's what we're doing. So SPX downside butterfly, we would probably go the debit route.
Mm-hmm. Sell the guts by the wings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And somewhere in that expected move. So there's not much to work with now with 0 days. You got 30 points to the downside. So it's going to be a small trade that you're going to have to hold to expiration. Most likely. Holo Marcos, longtime listener, first time chatter. Is there a play other than call credit spread for a bearish position without exposing to the increase of the IV?
Put diagonal. Wide butterfly and SPX.
Yeah.
I think the simplest would be a put diagonal if you want to use similar amount of capital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I wouldn't overthink the IV increase potential because your delta exposure is really going to be the meat of that trade.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a credit spread. So the increase in IV might prevent you from getting a little bit more than if there wasn't an increase in IV, but your delta is where you're getting paid on that downside move.
Yeah.
If you had a put zebra and the volatility expanded, you could also profit as well. So zebra is a zero extrinsic back ratio. It's basically like a stock, synthetic stock trade. So the way we set them up, you're buying, you know, a set number of contracts in the money, usually two or more, and then you're selling like an at the money option to kind of replicate 100-ish long or short shares of whatever underlying it is that you're trading. And that one would obviously benefit because you have more long contracts than short contracts.
Yes.
Harsha with the Reddit 40 short strangle in May.
Straddle.
After 8 adjustments, need to roll to the 35 put 45 call in June, ball dropping each day. Is it good to roll now or at 21 days? Well, right now is the minimum intrinsic value that you can buy back that straddle for. So that's going to play a factor. But at the same time, there's so much implied volatility here. There's so much extrinsic value premium that even if you get a move, 2 points in the money on either side, 3 points in the money, like this premium, this $8.60 in May isn't going to change too much.
Yeah.
So, but if you're trying to buy this back as a straddle and roll it into a strangle, doing it when you have no intrinsic value to buy back is going to be somewhat helpful. But you're still paying a debit, it looks like.
Earnings coming up in May, too.
Yeah.
Early May.
And you can see there's a 20% increase. There's a 20% higher implied volatility number in May relative to June.
Oh.
So May is going to get crushed a lot more than June.
E-mini's unched.
Unched by lunch, which it's about to be.
Indeed.
Diego, I have shares on Roku due to an assignment. I sold the 55 call for, I believe, next Friday, the 26th, for a credit of 496. With this trade, I have an average of 55.76. I don't want to have these shares until next Thursday. What can I do? So got assigned, sold a call against it to reduce basis.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to keep the shares.
I would just close the position. Because it hasn't really moved. I mean, if you sold this call, an in-the-money call, you sold $2 and change, you know, almost $3 of extrinsic value here. It probably hasn't moved all that much. So I would just, if you're trying to get out, just close the position. You're no worse off than when you sold this call. This call hasn't moved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're not going to get assigned here. There's, if that's what you're worried about, there's $2.80 of extra.
But he wants them gone, or they want them. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, you're out $100. If you don't want to hold it through earnings, then you're going to have to close the trade.
Yeah.
Basically. Let's see, a couple more here.
Yeah. Really quickly before we get to the one about the difficult concepts, Chris trying to route a GC butterfly order. The reason for that is because right now the platform does not support complex futures options spreads. However, they are extremely close to being able to support complex option spreads in the futures options. So right now you probably have to route them as two trades, you know, either, you know, vertical on one side, vertical on the other, or, you know, the straddle first and then the gut or the wings afterwards, but you're going to have to route it as two trades for now. But very, very soon the Tasty Trade platform will be supporting complex orders for futures options, which I'm extremely excited about.
There you have it.
So sorry to cut in, Mikey.
Are you good? Pablo, when you began learning, what was the most difficult thing for you to understand and grasp?
For me, it was probably like extrinsic and intrinsic value. Even though, like, I knew like that the two together make the option price, but I just didn't understand how extrinsic value and intrinsic value like play such a critical role in trade management.
Mm-hmm.
Like it took me a while to really grasp that. Yeah. I don't know. It's just one of those things where like your dad had to like hammer it into my head like 80 times.
What was you, Mikey?
That's a good question.
Just like came so naturally to
me. I was going to say the more psychological part of like avoiding the news and like thinking that, you know, because you saw something that was like, you know, no doubt winner.
Yeah.
Like that's the hardest part is it's just, you know, turning your brain off a little bit and just treating like the numbers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like what we do now.
Yeah. I was gonna, my instinctual answer was going to be like to your point, like earnings trades, like, cause that was when Tesla was like the stock that everyone wanted. And I would see like, I would look at the reports and they'd be like, Tesla missed earnings and they blew out so much cash. They burned $800 million in the quarter. And then the stock would rally like 50 points. Yeah. And I'm like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
So like to your point, avoiding the, ignoring the news and just looking at the implied volatility and the extrinsic value. Like I would say, the biggest difference for my trading now to when I was trading back then is like, I don't care about really the news. From. I'm just like, what is this implied volatility look like here? And does this make sense to me from a risk reward standpoint? And am I comfortable taking that risk?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's really where I'm at now.
Yeah. And we got some other people saying the language too.
Oh, the language really pissed me off.
The language, of course, yeah.
The language pissed me off. I was like, who did this?
And the strikes, like, that was another thing that was very ridiculous to me. It was like, you know, why are the higher strikes lower, you know, down? Which you can flip this if you like it, but now that...
It's just part of you now.
Yeah, this looks bizarre to me. I have to go up. Yeah, I can't do
that. I would be so discombobulated.
Yeah.
I think the other thing, too, that was like... kind of a mind it makes you spiral is like you have to know that you will be tested on your trade.
Yes.
Like I think that I thought you push the button, you get filled, and like you just profit. Like
your theta would come in every day.
Yeah, like exactly. So easy. I think you know, when you pull up the platform and you see like a lot of red in your positions, like, and you don't understand that being tested is like part of it and totally normal, like, that's a tough one to not like panic about as a total newbie.
For sure.
Yeah. And that's really why, like, when I say if I were to do this whole, like, what's your one trade you would do for the rest of your life? That's why, to your point and everyone's point, like, that's why I like the short put and SPY, the short put and Qs, because the ETFs in SPY and Qs have historically always recovered from crashes. You can collect premium every single month, even if it's deep in the money. If you trade small, if your size is small enough, then you can withstand 30% drawdowns in a year, 40% drawdowns in a year, because your size is small. So yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking about all those things well in advance will really help you in the long run.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Well, that wraps up this edition of Options Trading Concepts Live. If you want to see anything in future episodes, just tweet at us. I'm at Trader Katie, Mike at Trader Mikey B, Nick at Trader Nikki Bat. Join the Tasty Live subreddit. We are building it out and we're going to make an awesome community there. So just Google Tasty Live subreddit. It'll take you right there. We're going to have us as moderators, so we're about to have a little bit of fun. Mm-hmm. Sign up for our events at tastylive.com/events. Let's go eat some sandwiches.
Yes, I'm starving.
Good luck. Good trading.
Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.